This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I'm joined by Luke.
Hello.
Hello.
It's been so long since we've been intimate together.
It has been a long time, probably months.
Yeah, I know. I feel the drought.
Have we lost our intimacy?
No, I think it's like one of those...
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
One of those old fuck buddies that you don't see for years, and then you hook up again, and you're like, no, we've still got a connection. I feel like that's what this is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just feels like natural again.
Yeah. Just slot back in, so to speak.
So to speak.
Why am I here? Well, you know why this is? Because this is... we've been talking on our last show about a lot of very sexual games, and so I'm feeling very sexual at the moment.
Yeah. We're like charged. We're ready to go.
Sexually charged.
Exactly.
That's it. The sex talk's done, though. Let's move on.
Unfortunately, the topic isn't that sexy, I wouldn't say.
No.
I mean, we can try our best.
We'll sex it up.
So, what we're talking about today is the concept of going gold.
Yes.
So, there's been a few games announced to have gone gold this week or just in the last few days as of time of recording. But some games don't go gold. What does going gold mean, Luke?
So going gold is when a game is basically entirely finished and ready for production. So they've gone through their testing phases, they've done all the development, and they're confident they can begin the production phase, which is it goes to, you know, a production company, they can start printing it onto discs, you know, putting data on there.
Yeah.
It's basically, for all intents and purposes,
it's finished.
It's done.
It's done deal. It's a game that's gone gold.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the flip side of that is that some companies, as the release date approaches, they never reach that mark where they're like confident with the product, they're done, they're finished, and instead they're working all the way up till release date. So they've never had this period where they've gone gold because essentially the game is finished as soon as they've run out of time to develop.
Yeah, and look, it does depend on the type of product they're making as well.
Yeah.
So I know, like, for example, the games that went gold this week, Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Spider-Man. They're both due out in the first couple of weeks of September, so it's pretty common for a game to go gold about a month before it's due to release.
I'm always like, every time I see this game has gone gold a month out of from release, I'm excited. I'm like, yo, that's cool. I'm so glad that this development company has so much room for the kind of production phase of things, and they're not developing things at the last minute trying to get things ready. It just instills confidence in me that the release date they had for their game is a good projected release date. Like, they've given themselves enough time to get there.
Yeah, they've been given the time they need, because we do hear horror stories a lot about, you know, development being rushed.
Yeah.
There's deadlines.
There's a whole crunch culture with video games where you're like approaching the release date and you're working overtime and you're no longer seeing your family and you're working these just unbelievably ridiculous hours just to make sure your game is ready to go. And that's just not healthy. It's not something we can, you know, continue to do into the future sustainably.
Yeah, and it's something as well that you do see more with AAA titles going gold, because they do have those strict release dates and there's a lot of PR and marketing push behind those games too. You know, so these are two games which are being pushed really heavily, and we've seen trailers over the last year or two, and it's like, okay, these are ready to be released, which is cool. You know, other games, though, they don't work the same way. These are both offline experiences, basically. So, I mean, they can say a game is finished.
Campaign-driven,
yeah. Not really, no multiplayer involved.
No.
There might be some patches and some DLC and stuff down the track, but
that's
essentially
not to say
that
a game like Overwatch can't be, like, go gold. I mean, like, they still can go gold, but there's just still expected to be continual work and patches and whatnot.
Which, correct.
To be honest, I'm sure these two games are also going to get continual patches and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, that's why you won't see super firm release dates on some games, because they do develop until they're ready. It can take time, and that's when you see delays happen as well. And, you know, whether you like it or not, delays, even if they're for a good reason, they sometimes negatively affect people who are looking forward to that game. You know, it's like bad PR, so your game's delayed. And you can say, oh, I'm making it better, and, you know, we've played enough games in our lifetime to know this is a good thing. Delays are good. It's going to fix problems. But as a consumer, you want something now. You want it as fast as possible. And when they can't provide that and they delay it, you go, oh, well, I'm pissed off now. I wanted that in November, not February. You know, I'm angry.
It's an assurance, isn't it? When you see this game has gone gold, you're like, okay, well, it's definitely going to release on the release date. There's no chance this is getting delayed. It's gold. It's going into production. This is happening. Conversely, however, though, we do have an example of a game that is coming out soon that we believe won't ever hit gold because it's doing this other thing. Now, I'm talking about the Spyro trilogy.
Other thing.
And if you listen to our previous podcast or even live, you know we talked about it a bit in the news where we talked about how the second and third parts of the trilogy, so Game 2 and Game 3 of Spyro, won't be ready to go on the disc when it releases. Instead, that it'll be downloadable content that you can, you know, patch day one, hopefully day one. Like, if they don't hit that launch, that'll be a catastrophe. But presumably, day one, it'll be ready to go and you can download those games.
Yeah, and the implication is, you know, if they'd said it's gone gold, that means it's all three ready to rock today. They're on the disc, basically, as of tomorrow, they're good to go. Let's ship it. And the fact that they can't say that and they're doing these games digitally instead of on the disc as well, it just sort of, it implies they're not ready or they're not finished.
They're not gold. They're bronze? I don't know.
Like copper? but for, you know, they're not ready. And so, you know, you have to think. You go, well, okay, why haven't they had this game ready enough to be able to confidently say, this is good to go, let's send it to production.
Yeah.
Especially a game like the Spyro Trilogy, which has a lot of interest behind it. A lot of people are really keen on that game.
Myself included.
Yeah, and you sort of go, well, why aren't they? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, and we just said, like, when a game gets announced to go gold, it creates confidence. It instills confidence in us and going, yes, this game is ready. Like, it's going to hit its release date. We're eager. And I guess when something like this happens, it's the opposite. It instills a lack of confidence. It says, oh no, they're rushing this release. They haven't got a month to go. They haven't got this like safeguard this time.
Yeah.
They're instead developing all the way up until release, and that's problematic because if there is still problems or the game isn't 100% complete or they haven't allocated enough time for beta testing to like iron out all those bugs and glitches, then we're likely to get a game that just feels slightly unfinished. Mm. And I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen with Spyro. We don't know. We don't know the inner workings happening behind the scenes. But it's that thing of not instilling confidence. It's like it could be a rushed release trying to hit this release date when maybe they should have delayed it so that it had more time to do this kind of beta testing, bug fixing, and production phase.
Yeah, it reminds me of a game that came out earlier this year, AO Tennis.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one as well because that was a game that released in January to coincide with the Australian Open, right? So they've like, yep, got the tennis tournament in Australia. It's huge. And it's big in Australia. So we're going to release this in Australia at the same time as the tournament. Great. So it was announced in December with a January release date. Straight away, you're like, well, that's not a long time from announcement to release.
No, not at all.
They didn't show much footage of the game. The footage they did show was questionable. And there wasn't really a proper trailer of gameplay until like a week before launch. So all these factors come into it where you go, oh, I don't know about this game being ready for release. Inevitably, what happened was is the game came out and it wasn't very good. It didn't review very well. People were disappointed by this game. It had a lot of problems. So then what's happened is they've rushed it for Australia. We've copped this crap version of this game. And then they've gone and spent months and months and months patching it, fixing it, adding things, removing things, making it better, and then eventually released AO Tennis to the rest of the world in like May or June the same year.
That's a big gap, isn't it?
It's a few months of extra difference. Development time. So they're selling it over here, though, to us, Aussies, target market, at a full price.
Mm.
We're copying this unfinished product, and the rest of the world's getting this better product. Probably still not great, but it had a lot of problems, right? And I love tennis games, so I was like, oh, really disappointed by this. But yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened. But I mean, if it had gone gold and gone through the proper due diligence of a video game being ready and prepared, I would have had confidence going into it and felt like, yeah, this is ready. They're happy with it. They're happy enough to print this.
We can say with confidence that AO Tennis wasn't releasing the best game it could. It was releasing a game at a date that it thought would sell well.
Correct.
Which is just so unfortunate. Like,
it's gross.
It's really, it's anti-consumer. It's saying, you know, our bottom line means more than our reputation, or our bottom line means more than the, you know, experience that the gamer will have with our product. And yeah, no, not good.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, if you're going to launch during Australia, you're going to push it a year out. But then, I don't know, don't call it AO Tennis. Just call it something. Like, there's ways around this.
Yeah, well, undoubtedly, that game was developed for the idea of releasing coinciding with the Australian Open. Mm. It was a movie tie-in game without a movie. If that makes any sense at all.
It doesn't work the same way, you know?
No, it just doesn't work.
You're not going to get that instant, like, people go and see the movie, they go and buy the game that afternoon. I love that movie, I'm buying the game. Or they'll go to the Australian Open, and during the tournament, oh, here's the game, it's available now. They'll go, oh, pick it up on the way home, because they're hyped.
Are there any, like, ads running during the Australian Open?
I didn't notice any. I watched the Open, I didn't see any.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I went and didn't see any. Anyway, but yeah, it's funny though, because the confidence of finishing a game before it's going to launch and saying it's gone gold, part of it is it allows us as game journalists and as reviewers to give an opinion on a product before it's released.
Mm.
And if you don't have a game ready for launch properly and you end up giving it to reviewers on the day of release, people are going to go and buy these games day one when the hype is real and the marketing and PR is in full swing, but they're not getting a fully... they're not understanding exactly if the game's good or not, or worthy of purchase.
Yeah, and I know we're a bit biased in saying this because we are reviewers and whatnot, but even before I started doing this, I saw reviewers as an incredibly important job because there are so many games out there and I want to experience as many as I can, but I also don't have infinite money or infinite time, so I'm going to play the ones that are the best quality.
You want the best value out of your buck, right?
So if a game's releasing and it doesn't have reviews already written about it, then I'm dubious. I'm like, well, what am I buying? I don't really know. Like, you can't trust marketing. You're supposed to be able to trust journalists. That's a whole nother category.
Like, but sponsored posts and stuff.
Yeah.
And you wonder, well, how much were you paid to write that? You know, and we don't do sponsored posts, by the way, just so you know.
No, we don't. We're very good, aren't we?
Yeah, we're great. But, you know, even as a reviewer, I still read a bunch of other reviews of games that I'm keen on purchasing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to find out what other people... I want to get a range of opinions and diverse opinions about a certain video game to figure out whether or not it's worth my time and my money.
So, when a game goes gold a month out from release, you know when you get that copy, maybe you get it a couple of weeks before it releases, you know, fingers crossed, Spider-Man.
you want that game. But it's true, though. I mean, it shows confidence from their side as well that the game is good. God of War.
You know you're playing, like, the full, complete game?
Yes.
Right? And I guess the flip side is sometimes we get sent a code and there'll be, like, this line in the email we get sent and it's like, oh, here are the 5 known bugs that we're trying to fix before release, or here are the patches that we're going to have before it releases.
Yeah, almost like, don't judge us yet.
Give us a pass on all of these problems you're going to encounter because our plan is to have that fixed before the public sees it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sucky, right? Like, we want to experience the game as the consumer is going to experience the game because we've got to tell the consumer what they're going to experience.
Correct.
So if you go gold a month out from release, fantastic. We're likely to experience exactly what the consumer is going to experience.
And it is a confidence thing on the developer side too. Like, we got God of War. Everyone got God of War to review weeks before it came out. You know, I got another game. I can't say because I got it yesterday, but I got a game a month before it comes out, which is great. And that tells me straight away, they're happy with this.
Yeah, they're like, ready
they're
to go.
Happy enough to give it to you a month out from release because it's ready to go and it's a good game. And that shows a confidence in the product and a confidence in the brand as well, which I think is really important. If a game is not willing to be distributed before it launches because they're trying to fix things till the last minute, it just gives a weird vibe and you sort of go, this isn't going to end well.
So would you prefer we saw more delays? Or would you prefer this kind of rush mentality that seems to be happening right now of, no, we did a release date, we're going to try to hit it, even if we're releasing a product that isn't quite finished yet, and we're going to make sure we finish it soon?
It's a tough question. I think it depends on the game. It depends on the franchise as well. I think, you know, there's certain brands that can get away with being slightly unfinished on launch because we trust those companies moving forward, you know what I mean? And there's other companies who are going to release a new IP, and it might be a first-time developer or a first-time doing a AAA, and if their game releases and is not complete or is a mess for any reason, people are going to remember that, and they're going to judge that. You know what I mean? I know they just released their new version of it like a few weeks ago, but No Man's Sky, right? That was their first big game in the spotlight, and I feel like because it was so unfinished when it launched, it's kind of tainted that developer from now on. So the next game they do, it'll be like, well,
oh, people will be wary. They'll remember be like, oh, No Man's Sky,
and you know. So I think that in that sense, it's far better to delay if you have reservations and if you're a new player in this whole thing. I think it's better to delay and take your time and get it right the first time. But that being said, it's tough because there's the budget issue of the longer you delay a game, the less you make, the less money you're making from it, the more you're paying staff ongoing, and you're losing money. Yep. And if it's your first game, it then doesn't sell anyway. You've lost all this money.
And we have no idea how much outside pressure there is, not only from consumers, but a publisher. Like Sony picked up No Man's Sky during development. How much of that release date was set by Sony and being demanded by Sony? We don't know. Like,
yeah, we can sit here and be armchair critics about how games should be released and delayed or whatnot, but we don't really know the pressures and the struggles that some of these guys go through. And I think that's where it comes down to, is you have to try and be a bit understanding. I think that, you know, you should try and give people a second chance as well, and if it doesn't go well the first time, you know, there's chances to patch and stuff. But at the same time, I do wish that games were finished and confidently gone gold before release more often.
Yeah, it's one of those ideal situations where you're like, yes, let's get every game to go gold a month before release and then release. But it's, in actuality, it's one of those things that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, we kind of rely on patch culture moving forward, saying, you know, oh, day one patch, that'll solve all the problems. Or if it doesn't, week one patch, that'll solve all the problems. Oh, well, that's not ready yet? Okay, we'll do another one. But the flip side, the fortunate side of that is that giving developers that kind of creative freedom and allowing them to continually adapt their game. And yeah, maybe it's not perfect immediately, but beta testing can only pick up so much, whereas the influx of players after release, that's going to pick up a lot more, and that's where you get your real feedback and your real bug testing, especially from smaller developers. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the conclusion to this is.
I mean, there'll always be games that are online space, multiplayer, which will never be 100% ready on launch.
Yeah,
that's just the way the industry is nowadays, you know. We're going to move towards that even further as we head towards streaming games and stuff as well.
It feels like it's becoming a more and more accepted practice, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, because at the same time, it's kind of cool to get the game that you want now and then track the development as well. But not everyone's going to appreciate that.
The way I've always seen it is it's that early access mentality, right? Like, you as a consumer are given more choice because of early access. You can play it early, knowing it's not ready yet. If you want to, or you can wait for it to release.
Right.
That's your choice as a consumer. And this is just, it's a murkier version of that exact same concept. Yeah, you can buy this day one. Maybe it's not quite ready yet, or you can wait later.
But I guess you go into it knowing that. I think that, or to a point.
I mean, we go in there knowing that. Unfortunately, not everybody who walks into a game store buys a game off the shelf. They don't always know that.
You're right. Especially like your parents buying for their kids and stuff as well. You know, people assume when you buy something, it's done. You know what I mean? That's it. You've got it now, right? It's released. It's finished. It sort of makes you miss, in a way, the old cartridge days where they couldn't update with
the
patches.
The good old days.
Yeah, they couldn't update with a patch on a Commodore 64. It's true. The game was done, that was it. But at the same time, there are some games on 64 that probably could have used some more love and development time, and a patch would probably make them a million times better than what they were.
Potentially, but it also meant that, you know, Nintendo and all those old school developers, they had to make a really good product knowing that they couldn't patch it later. And I think that mentality is still there. Like, Nintendo releases a product and you expect it to be pretty damn good, right?
Yeah. And you'd rather the game be ready to go and done and finalize so you can move on to making more great games. Not spending another year after it releases fixing the game you just released. That's going to delay further production on further IPs and new ideas as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange topic. And I think that games that go gold, it's always a really good thing to see. And I do hope that more continue to do that. And not just go gold, but announce to everyone, we've gone gold, we're ready. Because that, to me, just inspires so much confidence as a gamer.
100%.
And as a critic as well. Yep. It's a good thing to happen for sure.
Well, Luke, thank you for joining me. That's about all the time we've got. Thank you for going gold with me.
It was a golden opportunity.
Oh, good work. Your pun was better than mine. I'm so annoyed. But join us next week, because Checkpoint Intimates will never stop. So we'll get down and dirty and intimate on another topic next week.
Yeah. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.